blood on top of the doorpost.
Of my part, beyond this, I see nothing but the blood, nothing, nothing but the blood. Of my part, beyond this, I see nothing but the blood, nothing, nothing but the blood.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Shelter Rock Church. My name is Leslie. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and it's good to be with you here today on Palm Sunday. Back at the turn of the 20th century, there was a man named Alfred who had made his mark by inventing and refining explosives. And the most notable, the most famous of his inventions was dynamite. Now, Alfred intended for his explosives to be used for constructive purposes, such as building highways or laying clear foundations, but it wasn't too long before people realized that these explosives can be used for warfare. And so Alfred made a lot of his money from selling explosives to the military. Now, later on in his life, Alfred pondered and started to think, what would his legacy be here on this earth? What would his name be known for? And he realized that although he had created this invention, these explosives for good, so many people had used them for evil and to bring death and destruction on this earth. And Alfred knew that that was not the legacy, that was not the name that he wanted to leave for himself. And so he rewrote his will and took the majority of his fortune and left it to establishing a series of international awards for leading thinkers and scientists and people of the day to receive them as they were making their mark and working for the betterment of humanity. This man's name was Alfred Nobel. Now, Alfred, he had set apart and he had set these awards, and the most famous of these awards is the one which is described as for the promotion of peace. We call it the Nobel Peace Prize, and it is one of the most highest honors to be bestowed upon a human being. Back in 1901 is when the first Peace Prize was handed out to Henry Durant. And it was given to this individual because they worked and helped establish the International Red Cross and the Geneva Convention. Other names who have received this award, and this is just a few of them: Mother Teresa, Dr. Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, President Kim Dae-jung, as well as just last year, the World Food Program for their work to bring peace and fight against the hunger in war-torn areas. It's quite the list, and that's just a few of them to receive this award. But it's interesting to look through and to see all that these individuals spent on time and energy and brain power and their influence, to see all that they had accomplished and to realize we are no closer to world peace than we were 100 years ago. We're not closer to achieving the world peace on earth, even more so now than we were 100 years ago. You see, our world, it's filled with frightening things, with violence. We don't have to look too far to see in our world just in the past few weeks the shootings that have happened in Atlanta and Colorado. You see, there is not peace on this earth. All of these individuals put their best efforts in seeing that. You see, peace is something that we as humanity hope to see in our world. It's an ambition that we all hope and pursue and achieve, no matter how far it might seem, how far-fetched it might seem, or hard or difficult for it to be obtained. We all crave this peace. Well, thousands of years ago, there was another crowd, another group of people just like ourselves looking for peace. And we talked about it earlier as Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a colt. He was riding in to the city of peace. And this was a crowd of people looking for Jesus to bring peace on earth, to be a king who would get rid of the oppression that was surrounding them. But you see, Jesus didn't come to bring that kind of peace. Jesus didn't come to be that kind of king. It wasn't what the crowd was expecting. Jesus came to bring a peace that was like no other, to be a king that was like no other. Today on Palm Sunday, what I want us to do is to discover King Jesus, for us to look at King Jesus and see who he is and all that he's worth. And to do that, I want to invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read in verses 15 through 20. It will also be up here on the screen. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. The Apostle Paul writes, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Today, as we continue in our teaching series called Nothing But the Blood, I want us to see there are reasons why we can have peace in this world. Reasons why we can have peace. You see, we crave, we want a peacemaker to come and fulfill this longing that we have for stability and order in our world, a peace in our lives. And so these are two reasons I see why we can have peace today. We can have peace because, one, Jesus made it all. And secondly, we can have peace because Jesus paid it all. Jesus made it all, and Jesus paid it all. Well, first here in verse 15 and 16, we see that we can have peace because Jesus made it all. In verse 15, we get a glimpse into the power and the authority of Jesus. And we see that he is fully God in the flesh. And so if there's ever going to be someone who can bring peace on this earth, anyone who's going to make right the chaos that we see around us, if there's anyone, it's Jesus, because he holds all power and authority in his hands. So if you're looking for a peacemaker, you find it in Jesus. One verse 15, we read that Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God. That's who Jesus is. He's the exact representation of God the Father. He's the perfect likeness. And so Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus, again, he is fully God in the flesh. He is the King. Now, we see here again that it says that he's the firstborn over all creation. The firstborn over all creation, which is not in reference to that he's the first created being on the earth, which some other religions or cults take away. That means is not Jesus' status in creation. Rather, it's Jesus' status above creation. He's the first. He's controlled. He's of ultimate priority. He is above it all. Jesus is the first rank, and he stands above all creation and holds it all together. Look with me in verse 16 and 17, where we read that all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In John, we see that all things were made by him. Jesus was at creation. He created the earth, the world that we see. He was present there at the start of it all. It's no wonder that the wind and the waves obey the commands of Jesus. It's no wonder that sickness and death and disease would flee at his commands, because he is over all. He commands all of it. He holds it all together. He is our peacemaker. He's the one who's come to set it all right. You see, if there's anyone who's going to bring peace into our world, it's Jesus. If there's anyone who's going to make right of the chaos that we see, it's Jesus, because he has the power and the authority over all creation. There's one Greek scholar who points out that this phrase, that Jesus holds all things together, it's in reference that he remains in control. He remains and holds it even now. He's holding it all together. This one scholar went on to write that the permanence of the universe rests on Christ more than gravity. The permanence of the universe rests more on Christ than it does in gravity. You can put your hope in science, but you're going to come up short, because this universe is held together by the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, we have a Christ-centric universe. And I enjoy nature and going outside, and if you've ever looked up into the stars, you can become overwhelmed by the vastness that you see throughout creation. Or if you go to the mountains or to the ocean, the beauty that is there is just overwhelming many a times. But you see, scientists, they're more detailed and aware of what's happening all throughout creation. And scientists, they observe and they see, and the more that they observe about our universe, the more perplexed they become as to why it is the way that it is. It's what scientists call fine-tuning. It's fine-tuning of the universe, meaning that there's so many intricate details and specifics to what is happening in our world today that we don't even realize what's happening around us. In a U.S. News and World Report, one scientist described it this way. Said the universe appears marvelously constructed to produce stars, planets, and life. But physicists see no reason why. The constants of nature are set just the way that they are. It's because Jesus is holding it all together. Here's just a few examples of how finely tuned our universe is. For the gravitational force, if it was too weak than it is right now, planets and stars couldn't form. Or if it was too strong, the stars would burn up too quickly. The electromagnetic force, if it was much stronger or weaker, it would not have stable chemical bonds here on the Earth. And the nuclear force, if it was weaker, the universe would have far fewer stable chemical elements, such as that it would eliminate several of them that are essential for life. The ratio of masses for protons and electrons, if even slightly different, building blocks for life such as DNA could not be formed. The velocity of light, if it were larger, stars would be too luminous. And if it was smaller, they would not be luminous enough. Here's one. Our sun is the right color. Did you ever think about that? I know I didn't. The sun is the right color. If it was redder or bluer, photosynthetic response would be weaker. The polarity of water molecules makes it uniquely fit for life. If it were greater or smaller, its heat of diffusion and vaporization would make it unfit for life. The Earth's distance from the sun is crucial for a stable water cycle. If it was farther away, then the water would freeze. If it was closer, then the water would boil. The Earth's gravity and axial tilt and rotation period and magnetic field and the crust thickness, the oxygen-nitrogen ratio, the carbon dioxide and water vapor and ozone levels are just right. This is what scientists are discovering and researching and seeing. And these aren't scientists who are saying that they're followers of Jesus. These are scientists who are observing what's happening around us in our universe. And they're saying that there is something unique to what we see. And they can't define it. It's because Jesus is holding it all together. He's created it all, and he has it all in the palm of his hand. And scientists, they like to explain it away and come up with these other elements of why it might look like it is, but it's frustrating for them because they can't define it and observe it, because because you see, Jesus is the one who holds it all together. He's keeping the world together. And if he can sustain all of this universe, everything that we see, if he can sustain the universe, he can sustain your life. If you want peace today, you can have it because Jesus made it all. He keeps it all. He's holding it all in the palm of his hand. He holds you in the palm of his hand as well. And if there's something you're facing here today, you can have peace because Jesus has made it all. There's nothing that's outside of his realm of power and authority. And if he's keeping it all in line and keeping the earth and the world from collapsing in on itself and falling apart, he can handle whatever you're facing in your life just now. You see, we can have peace because Jesus made it all. Secondly, we can have peace because Jesus paid it all. Now, what we observe here in these next few verses, here in verse 18, 19, and 20, is that we're reading about a new creation. We talked about the creation of the universe, that Jesus has was fully involved in that and holds it all together. Now we read here about this new creation that began with the resurrection of Jesus. He put it into motion. Scripture says that he's the firstborn over death, that he's conquered death in the grave. And if you believe and you trust in him, then it becomes that you're like a new creation, and we're following after him. When verse 19, we see that this word reconcile shows up. Now, through Jesus, we are reconciled. Now, this word in the Greek means to change from one condition to another, to change from one condition to another. A better word that we might be more familiar with for this kind of act is the word of restoration. We think of restoring a car or restoring a house. This process of restoration, of taking what is and making it back to what it was. Taking something from one condition and returning it back to, or bringing it back to another condition. Well, back in 2015, there was a great restoration process, a project that happened in New York City. Maybe you saw it as you were in the city, in and out, but there was a 9-year restoration process for St. Patrick's Cathedral there in Manhattan. And this was a $177 million project to take the church and restore it back to its original design. It took what is and made it to what it was. And so 150 workers spent 9 years working by hand to fill in the cracks of the stained glass and to take the black soot off of the marble that was there in the church and to pick up the crumbling pieces of the columns and the stonework and to patch it all and bring it all back together. You see, they were taking the church back to its original design. They were restoring it from one condition back to the other. Listen, at the cross of Jesus, the greatest restoration project happened of all time. It was Jesus restoring back to the original design, the way that God intended this earth, that God intended you and I to have a relationship with Jesus. It was at the cross. The cross is the pivotal point in human history. It's when Jesus allowed for our relationships to be restored back to harmony with God, our Father. You see, Jesus paid it all. He laid it all down in order for you and I to have peace with God. Now, it's typical for us to, and it's natural for us to want to define peace as the dictionary defines peace. If you were to pick up Webster's dictionary and flip to peace, you would see this definition of absence of conflict and tranquility. That's what we naturally think of when we hear peace. But I think what Paul is doing here in Colossians is that he wants us to understand the Hebraic meaning of peace. That's more what he has in mind than what Webster does. Yeah, I think the word shalom is what we see in the Old Testament to define peace. I think this is one of God's favorite words because it's used 250 times all throughout the Old Testament. It's this idea of peace. And shalom means completeness, wholeness, total restoration of all that was broken. That's the peace that Jesus has come to bring. That's the shalom that Jesus has come to bring with his death on the cross. In verse 20, we see that he has made peace. He's making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. He's our peacemaker. If you're looking for one to bring peace in this world today, it's Jesus. He's the one who paid it all in order for us to be restored back to the original design that God had for us to have a relationship with him. You see, we need that peace that only Jesus can bring. At its core, peace is reconciliation with God. Reconciliation with our Father. And you see, there's a lot of turmoil and unrest in our world today, and it's a result of the brokenness that happened as a result of sin. And if we were to rewind back to the Garden of Eden, we would see a time and a place where humanity had, it was perfect, it was whole, there was harmony between God and his creation. But all of that was ruined because of disobedience. All of that was ruined. It was broken. And ever since, our hearts and our world has been malfunctioning ever since. You see, sin entered the world and left us wanting so much more than what we see before our eyes. But the good news, especially what we celebrate here at Easter time, the good news is that the Restorer has come. The Restorer has come to fix our world. And it's really the whole story of the Bible. The whole story of the Bible is God bringing back the world, his creation, to its original design. But you see, peace, that restoration, that peace, that shalom, came at the expense of the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid it all through his sacrifice. What was broken in the Garden of Eden was restored on the cross of Calvary. What was broken and lost in the Garden of Eden was restored at the cross of Calvary. The prophet Isaiah speaks to this peace that only comes through Jesus. In Isaiah 53, we read, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." By his wounds we have peace. By his death we have peace and wholeness and restoration. You see, Jesus, he crushed the source of our brokenness, and he has set right. He is restoring this world, restoring our relationship back to the Father. Romans 5:1 says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ do we have peace, do we have shalom, do we have total restoration in this world. Jesus restored that broken relationship between God and humanity through his death. And so you see, Jesus paid it all. We can have peace with God. We can have peace with others, because of that transformation that Jesus offers to us to take us back to the original design that he created for each one of us in the restoration that only he can offer. Well, for the past 120 years, our world has been handing out Nobel Peace Prizes. You and I, we're in a sense, we're called to be peacemakers as well. But if you think about all of our efforts, all of our what we try to do throughout this world to bring peace, we come up short. Our efforts are lacking to bring that kind of peace that we all are seeking after. You know, we need a peacemaker to restore our world, a peacemaker to restore our relationships between others, between God. We need the peace that only Jesus can bring. We don't have world peace yet. I'm not sure if you've realized that or not. We don't have world peace yet. But you and I were called to surrender our lives to the Restorer and allow him to do his work within us allow him to put us back together the way in which the original design was, for us to trust and surrender our lives to him. And you and I, we get to come along for the ride of God restoring this world back to how he intended it to be. We get to do that through the way we interact with those around us, that we love, how we care, how we forgive. You and I get to be part of that restoration that he's put into motion with his death and resurrection of the cross. You and I, we can have peace today with whatever you're facing in your life because Jesus made it all. He holds it all in the palm of his hand. He holds you in the palm of his hands. And also we can have peace, total restoration because of what Jesus has done for us. He paid it all for us on the cross. We can have peace today. And it's not a peace that crowd assumed was going to come as he came in on the colt. It's not that kind of peace. It's the peace that only he can offer, that only he can bring. I invite you now to close your eyes in an attitude of prayer and reflection. As you sit here today, I'm not aware of everything that you're facing in your life here. Maybe you have situations in your life that are causing you unrest in your heart. And good news is that you can have peace today. The good news is that you can trust the peacemaker, turning that over to him in prayer, not worrying about it, trusting him alone. Because if he can hold the universe, he can take care of you. We also can have peace because Jesus has paid it all. Maybe the unrest and turmoil within your heart today is a result because you do not have peace with God. You're searching all over for other options, other answers as to what will bring you satisfaction in this life. But listen, you're not going to find it anywhere else. There's no one else who can bring you that peace in your soul except for the peacemaker of Jesus, the creator who made you, designed you, and knows the best way for you to find peace in this life. Hope in this life is by placing your faith and trust in Jesus alone. If you're here today and you've never done that, if you've never found peace with God, you can do that today. You admit that you have sinned, that you have disobeyed God. You accept his forgiveness into your life. The good news is that we can have peace. It's not something that's far off in the distance. You and I can have peace no matter what's happening around us. Jesus, we thank you for the peace that only you can offer, the peace that only you can give. God, there's a lot of crazy things that are happening in our world today. It's easy to get caught up in the emotions and caught up in the fear and the worry of what's going to happen tomorrow. God, give us peace today because we trust you, the one who's holding it all together. God, help us to lay everything, all our worries, casting all of our cares before you because you care for us. You love us. And you got us. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for your blood shed so that we can be restored into harmony and relationship with God our Father. We thank you that you have paid it all for us, allowing us to be at peace again with whatever is happening around us. Jesus, we thank you. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to take some time now to take communion, to observe the Lord's Supper. And so as you came in today, you should have received a little cup of communion with a wafer. If you want to go ahead and pull that top plastic off, but I invite you, as Stephanie and the team sing this song, for you to reflect on the peace that Jesus has given to us. And then on after the song, I'll come back and lead us through a time of receiving the elements. So let's listen now.